But it is one of the world's fastest growing airlines. It's an airline being tracked everywhere, certainly in India. IndiGo has just announced their quarterly results, also their results over the year, and these are record results which they have posted. In addition to that, they've announced some exciting plans for the future as they upgrade their operations. They do, of course, have a record order book of aircraft. We are joined now by a very special guest, the CEO of IndiGo, Peter Elbers. Thanks very much for being with us, Mr. Elbers, and congratulations. I must ask you first up, as a passenger on IndiGo, I noticed that you will be offering a new business class product. When we spoke last time, you said, well, we don't know, we'll see, but it does seem that you are moving in that direction. Is IndiGo therefore shedding your low-cost image?
No, we are not, and thank you for having me here. No, we are not. I think what we are doing here is really developing our offer for our consumers in line with the development of the market in India. And the Indian consumers are as diverse as the country is. So what we have communicated today is that on the nation's busiest and business routes, towards the end of the year, we will introduce a product tailor-made precisely for those customers. And I would say in the very same way as IndiGo, if I may say it, revolutionized air travel in India, we have the ambition to do that exactly with this market segment as well towards the end of the year.
Mr. Elbers, will IndiGo offer full services on, by which I mean a business class and a premium economy, on your international routes? And the reason I ask that, of course, is because you've just ordered 38 350 aircraft, and I think that's a question on everybody's mind. Or are these going to be fully packed aircraft similar to the 777s that you're operating now, which you've taken on a damp lease?
Yeah, you know, we are building on our strategy, and our strategy, which we have launched 2 years ago, has various building blocks. And part of that strategy, indeed, is further internationalization. And the further internationalization is going to be fueled by the launch of the Airbus XLR coming in somewhere in due course of 25, and indeed our landmark order, which we announced last month, to go for wide-body space. What we have kept open so far is what's going to be the precise product definition on those planes. So I will not be able today to answer that question. I think the step we're taking today is really to cater for these routes in the country itself, which have a lot of business traffic, business-related traffic, and which are the nation's busiest routes. Building on that, we'll take steps for the future, but we have not communicated anything on that yet. And as I said earlier, we keep all options open.
Mr. Elbers, with the A350 coming into service in a couple of years from now, will we likely see IndiGo fly to even the United States or the United Kingdom? And would it be to the main airports, or would you be looking at perhaps smaller airports because landing rights are often very difficult in the biggest centers?
You know, if we look today to India and fast forward 2027 when these Airbus 350s are planned to be delivered, at that point in time, India is expected to be the third largest economy in the world. Today, India, when it comes to having its own wide-body aircraft, is largely underserved. So we felt really it's the good time to move into that space. The fact that we've taken the decision now and these planes will be delivered towards 27 gives us really a lot of time to decide precisely where they're going to fly, what airport are they going to fly, what's the precise configuration. And as India and the Indian consumers are evolving, that product will be also evolving. The benefit of this Airbus 350 is that it can fly from different airports in India to pretty much anywhere in the world. So it gives us the optionality to develop that network. And, you know, especially given the fact that we buy these planes for a longer duration of time, even that network could further evolve over time. I would almost say it's a bit like how we started a few years back with first flights from India to the Middle East, then to Southeast Asia. More recently, we've added flights to Africa, to Indonesia, to Central Asia. So we keep expanding that range. And I would see really these first XLRs and thereafter the 350 as an extension of that possibility to fly further for our customers.
But Mr. Elbers, a little bit more specifically, with the range of the A350, the United States has direct flights well within the range of the aircraft. Is that what we can expect in the years going forward? Because North America is a huge market for India.
Well, there's multiple ways of serving the market. Even today, our flight to Istanbul connects to the network of Turkish Airlines and from there connects to a couple of destinations in the United States. So we really have not decided yet on which routes precisely it will fly and whether it will fly to Europe or in Asia or Australia or to the United States. Again, we keep all these options open, and it's still a while before it's 2027. The good news, again, is we have the option to fly. What it exactly will be, time will tell.
Mr. Elbers, the profit that you've announced today, is it closely linked in a sense to the compensation which you have received from Pratt & Whitney on account of grounded aircraft because of problems with the Pratt & Whitney engines?
No, I would not say that. What we have seen is a very significant increase in our passenger numbers. So as you have seen in the earnings which we released today, we have increased to a total of 107 million customers in last year, which is 25% more than we had the year prior. So that's really a good reflection of the trajectory we've done. We've added more destinations. We've added a total of 17 destinations over the past year, bringing it to a total of 121 destinations. And we have really increased some of the routes we were operating. So I would say the execution of the strategy is really helping us and driving these results. Of course, solidified by a very strong market demand in India and the growth of the Indian market. You know, when you look at the discussions we're having with Pratt and Whitney, I think we would, of course, wish not to be in this situation. What we have done adequately is to secure for alternative capacity, and that has allowed us to live up to our capacity guidance and has enabled us to promise or to actually deliver on the growth which we have promised earlier.
Mr. Elbers, however, if you do look at capacity, and the growth in capacity of all the quarters, even though there's been robust growth in the last quarter, it's been the lowest of capacity growth over the last few quarters. Why is that the case?
You know, and that we have shared earlier, we got, of course, the information on some of the additional inspections on the engines to be done. That's why the number of planes on the ground has increased in this last fourth quarter as compared to the quarters before. So if you compare that setting, indeed there has been a sort of moderation of that growth. What's important for us though, and I think it's really speaking volumes to all the mitigating measures we have done, is that despite all the impact we had on that grounding, we still have been able to offer or to provide for year-over-year growth. And for the total year, you've seen the growth,
absolutely,
which has even exceeded the earlier capacity guidance. And we gave that capacity guidance already before this additional inspections were announced. Sorry to interrupt you.
So what happens to that grounded fleet, sir? Are you getting the engine replacements? And would you therefore be operating those aircraft as they come back into service with refurbished or new-build engines from Pratt & Whitney? What happens to those jets?
Yes, we are awaiting some of the materials and some of the engines, and the moment they are being delivered, these aircraft will be taken back into service indeed.
Just one or two more small questions. Are you also looking, and it's been reported in some places, at an order of approximately 100 small aircraft in the class of the ATR, not necessarily the ATR. Could you tell us about your plans in that direction as the Indian market grows?
You know, I think what IndiGo has done over the past 12 months, we had first the largest ever order, which we have announced in June of last year at the Paris Air Show, with a set of 500 Airbus 320 family planes No other airline has placed an order of that size with a single manufacturer. So that has solidified the influx of fleet well into the middle of the next decade. Then more recently in April, we have made a step into the wide body space. That's all part of a holistic strategy. When it comes to other planes, we keep all options open going forward.
Mr. Elbers, one final question. Are you going to tell me a little secret about what exactly the inside of your A350 is going to look like? Exact configuration of business, premium and economy, and whether you're going to have in-flight systems, entertainment systems on board. Are you about to tell me a big secret right now, sir?
Well, usually having a camera right in front of you is not the best point in time to share a big secret with you. But what I can share with you is that we will be creating a product which will be absolutely tuned to the need of the Indian travelers and the international one alike. And we will make sure that the Indian consumer traveling abroad will now have the opportunity to go directly from India to many places in the world at a product which is well known and well appreciated here at home in India, and now will serve also the needs to go international. And how precise it will look, we'll share that over time.
All right, Mr. Elbers, wonderful speaking to you. Congratulations on your excellent quarterly results and, really driving growth in this segment, which has so much potential. Thank you very much indeed.